The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
A lot of subjects. First of all, the draft, two days away, and we will spend a lot of time tomorrow and Thursday getting you ready for Thursday night in Kansas City. A couple of other subjects, including Coach Prime and the SEC proposed rule. David, thank you for joining us. You and some of your colleagues did a very deep dive on how recruiting stars turn into and equate to what happens during the draft. Fascinating dive. Thanks for the time. Tell us all about it.
Well, I appreciate it. I think based on the amount of time we spent pouring over spreadsheets, some would say too deep a dive. Basically, I was talking with a Power 5 head coach, and then they were talking about, hey, you know, every year at the end of the draft, you know, people look at, hey, the SEC's got the most picks. They got, you know, 500 draft picks. The SEC's led the country in draft picks for 16 years running now. You know, Alabama's got 100 picks. Georgia's got 100 other picks. And so he was saying, but, you know, if one school has 74 and 5 stars on their roster and another school has 9 and the first school puts 8 guys in the league and the other school with 9 guys puts 5 guys in the league, people want to talk about the totals, but where's the best school to actually go if you're a blue chip recruit? He said, nobody ever talks about percentages. I said, that's a good question. So we started digging into the data and tried to find if you're a 3-star recruit, a 4-star recruit, or a 5-star recruit, what school gives you the highest percent chance to become an NFL draft pick over the last 11 years? And we found some interesting stuff.
And, I mean, so where should you go if you want to get other than Alabama? Because that's pretty obvious tomorrow night, Thursday night. But what stood out as you looked at all this information?
Well, our 5-star U champion was Stanford, of all places. 4 stars, Baylor. And then 3 stars is where it gets a little bit complicated because, you know, if you go and look at the recruiting rankings for people who are familiar with it, you get to about 400 or 500. That's when the 3 stars start. And one of the things that we noticed as we looked is the 3 stars go all the way down to like 1,500, 1,700 in some cases. Well, if you're Boston College, you're probably pulling guys outside of that top 1,000. But if you're Alabama or Ohio State Georgia, the 3 stars that you are taking, I think Alabama's average rank was like 491. They're like barely 3 stars. So they're not really the same caliber of player necessarily. So when you look at the 3-star data, it trends heavily toward those schools that are going to be very picky about which 3 stars they take. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Ohio State was our 3-star U champion. And then interestingly, we looked at the conference data because there is this idea that, well, when you come to the SEC, they sprinkle the it's just means more pixie dust on you, and you're going to be an NFL prospect, going to help your NFL odds, is going to boost your stock. But the ACC actually had the highest percentage of guys that came to the conference ended up being draft picks.
Talking to David Ubben. David, Saturday, Coach Prime had the prime spot on ESPN that's usually reserved for last year Lincoln Riley and in years past Alabama and Georgia. Everything about it was great, except if you follow the transfer portal, it looks like half the players that were in the game are now out. What in the world is going on in Boulder with all these players entering the portal, and how many has it gotten to?
I believe the number now is 48. There was 2 that added earlier today. I can't say a ton, Paul. I've spent some time on the phone the last week. I got back from Boulder Sunday, and then I talked to some guys before that. So, you know, the answers to what's going on, I think you could probably find on The Athletic tomorrow. Shout out to the plug for that. But ultimately, you know, this is what we're seeing with a lot of first-year coaches. They changed the rules now where first-year coaches can basically cut players and then allow them to, you know, offer them to honor their scholarships, but you can't be, you know, on the football roster. And then, of course, they removed the cap of 25 signings, so you can flip your roster very, very quickly. We saw Lincoln Riley do that last year. Obviously, Deion Sanders is doing that now. That's sort of the cost of doing business. That's what happens in college football now, but it does leave behind people that are stuck in really rough spots. And, you know, you came to play for one coach and you know, another coach comes in, and we've seen this at some other places too. Hey, we don't want you here. You can stay here and not play football, but people sign letters of intent to play college football, so they're going to try to go elsewhere, and you might not find that the market for your services is real ripe out there. So, you know, it's a tough spot for a lot of these guys to be in that didn't necessarily jump in the portal, that were sort of, you know, nudged into the portal. And so, you know, we've talked to some people about that. And so, yeah, throw on The Athletic a little bit more detail on that.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure my subscription is paid for before tomorrow. David, where and how are coaches out there replenishing the roster? I've seen some players from various SEC schools heading that way, but that's a lot of players to fill.
Well, it is, and I think ultimately if you're at Colorado and you take over a 1-11 team, you say, we got to get some dudes in here. And if you're Deion, he does have a magnetic effect. A lot of people do want to come play for him. So, you know, they obviously added Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders. You know, Jordan Dominick came over there from Arkansas. He was there this spring. Jimmy Horn from USF. They've got, I think, Miles Slusher from Arkansas is coming down there as well. They've added, I think, 29 guys from the portal. I don't think anybody's added close to that this year. They've added the most. They've lost the most. I mean, again, I think because the rule changes, you're just going to see a lot of first-year coaches, especially ones that can kind of make a splash and inherit really bad situations, flip the roster. And, you know, Deion sort of said he's going to do this all spring. You know, I think last month he said, hey, the team that's out there for the spring game is not the team that we're going to be taking to Texas, you know, for week one. He mentioned on Saturday after the game, hey, you know, there's going to be more guys in the portal. We obviously heard it, you know, in his opening meeting with his team that was on their YouTube channel. You know, he's bringing his baggage and, you know, it's Louis. That's sort of been one of the quotes, one of the several quotes that have defined the Deion tenure at Colorado. So he said this was coming and, you know, it's not illegal. It's you know, by the rules, but it's sort of, you know, I think it's a wake-up call to some guys that I didn't realize, hey, college football is a business, and the business is only going to operate if they win, and Colorado didn't do a lot of that last year.
Talk about breaking news. I appreciate you educating us neophytes who thought it was all about the student-athlete. David Oven, before you go, and speaking of a business, there was a report yesterday, I think we had Pat Forty on this week, about this SEC strategy to perhaps take a home game away if a school violated the policy. This has not been approved yet. It will be discussed in Destin like everything else. Your thoughts?
Good luck. I mean, I think the idea is sort of, hey, let's incentivize the schools to not take a laissez-faire attitude toward, you know, this, because as you've seen money grow and grow and grow, $100,000 fine, I mean, you know, that's like a parking ticket basically for a lot of these schools that have, you know, nine-digit budgets. So a $250,000 fine, that doesn't do anything. So you have to have stricter penalties. But as I wrote yesterday also on The Athletic, we've seen a lot, and I had to tap into my sociology minor for this one, Paul, but we've seen a lot of cases in human history where stricter penalties do not take away undesired behaviors. That is not something that happened. We saw that, you know, with the war on drugs. We've seen that numerous times in history. It's been studied and studied and studied. That doesn't work. Certainty of penalties does. But regardless, you know, stricter penalties is not going to take this away. And if you want to have schools sort of strong-arming their fans to prevent this, and you have more police presence, you break out tear gas, you have dogs, whatever you want to do to keep guys off the field, well, then at that point, you know, are you producing a scene that is more undesirable than what you've had, you know, the last couple times? Because it is, you know, their heart's in the right place. There is a real potential for really bad things to happen. I think they've been fortunate that they haven't had really, really tragic things happen with all the field stormings that have happened, you know, across college sports. There have been some bad things, but not anything truly tragic. So there's just no easy solution to it. It's part of college football that fans come to expect and want when they have big moments. And I don't know how you remove that from the game, but this is not going to be something that's going to work.
Program reminder, on Wednesday, May 31st, on the beach in Destin, we will have the big debate between David Ubben and Greg Sankey. David, thank you. Great points. Really enjoyed it. Always good to see David Ubben from The Athletic. We take a break now. Your reaction to all of that and everything else that has transpired here over the last 3 hours and 10 minutes right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We continue. Jamie is up next. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I appreciate the chance to talk to you. My question is basically, why bring in a guy from Notre Dame when basically he's not any better than what we already have?
Well, Jamie, it's a good question for a lot of reasons. Alabama has a quarterback and has a backup, and by all accounts, they may not be national championship level, but you know, will they get you beat? You're going after a guy that clearly once was considered a great prospect, once by the guy who happens to be the offensive coordinator at Alabama. The new offensive coordinator at Notre Dame obviously does not agree because he's clearly the number two guy and maybe sinking further. So it's a risky move by Saban. Only he knows how desperate the situation really is. It confuses the quarterback room. It probably doesn't bring goodwill on the team, but Nick Saban is interested in winning championships, not in making fans happy.
I understand that, but like, I think Alabama needs to go back to controlling the line of scrimmage. We've missed on a ton of offensive linemen that were 4- and 5- star guys that have not even seen the field.
Right.
So I think the main thing for us as Bama fans and Alabama in general is we need to go back to controlling the line of scrimmage. We need a game manager. I mean, that's fine. We don't have to throw for 300 yards. We need to run the ball and control the line of scrimmage with our offensive line and defensive line.
It's fair. It's a great model, and it looks like Nick Saban agrees with you based on Tommy Reese's hiring. The bigger question is, does Alabama have the right players? Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul, I got a question about two callers, and then I want to throw something out at you about the storming the field situation. Did I hear the lady yesterday, and she's a great caller, say that she had 22 women over one evening playing bunco and her husband stayed around the house? Is that what I heard?
Pat from Georgia said that and said her husband went upstairs with a six-pack. Let's hope that's all
well,
he went
I'm
upstairs
tell you
with.
What. I give that man a ton of credit. I'd like to meet him one day. I might have to bring a six
so
pack
saying,
and sit around and enjoy that.
If 22 ladies were crawling around your house, you wouldn't be upstairs.
No, sir, I would not. But I'm single, Paul, so that
yeah, maybe you've probably never been married to think that you would be downstairs.
And then the question about Jeff, if Jeff is wrong about everything he just said about the Alabama situation, do we get to call him out like he does all these ESPN and football analysts?
Absolutely. He will be called out and shamed because that's what he does to everyone else. A great call. Thank you. Chris is in Mississippi. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
Very well. Thank you.
Just a quick observation on what Pat Forty said a couple of during his call, and an idea of something that I think would work well and keep the spirit of what he's talking about. I think if you start getting into a point of where you take away the conference games like he was discussing, and you have a situation, I'm just going to use Auburn as an example, where they would have to play Georgia 3 years in a row. I think you're getting into some issues that you don't want to get into. But let's just take them for an example. Let's say next year they beat Georgia, they rush the field. They beat Alabama, they rush the field. 2024, instead of taking away a conference game, take away a non-conference game, and they play UL Monroe in 2024 and make them continue to pay the fee for that, but move the game from Auburn to Monroe. And that way you would generate a situation where you would have some excitement for some of these smaller schools, but also at the same time you've accomplished what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really an interesting conversation when we get down there and listen to what leaders have to say. I don't know their thoughts. I haven't talked to any of them about this yet. But it to me, it's such a judgment issue. And
it is.
It may be one fan who ruins the whole thing. Because most fans are. I mean, I saw the situation of Tennessee, as many of you did, and 99% of the fans were having the time of their lives. There were, you know, the biggest issue occurred from the losing team.
Yep. But if you're going to have this type of enforcement, why would you not want to have some good that comes out
of
this? Yeah,
no, I think that's a great solution, and I think it's something you could live with eventually versus just possibly disrupt the entire conference.
Yeah, could you imagine what a weekend in Monroe would be like if you had Auburn coming to town?
You know, I'm trying to remember, there was a year, it was a long time ago, I think it was 30 years ago, Alabama did play, I think it was in Monroe, or it may have been Lafayette. I think it was Lafayette. And none of us could ever figure out why, but but it was exciting, though. You're right. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate that. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul.
Good afternoon.
You know, you've driven down the road, and you've seen these construction rentals. You know, tools, rental sites, you know, they got the cranes and the backhoes and all those kind of things.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Where you go rent those kind of things. You know, sometimes your show kind of, it's like Paul's Portalette Rentals. You know, everybody's got an opinion. Opinion one, you have your double opinion Portalette. And for those people that's real feisty, they got the three opinion Portalette. Let's back up here a little bit. All right, we was on the rebuilding tour, which turned into the revenge tour. And now Nick Saban's, he said it on TV, he's going to go out and steal somebody's quarterback. So now that he stole Notre Dame's quarterback, is Alabama on the Adios Amigos tour?
I don't know. First of all, he hasn't done it yet. But if he does do it, there's going to be a ripple effect.
Yeah, let me ask you something. What's the significance of Alabama fans singing Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond? I mean, what's the guts and bolts, nuts and bolts of that theme?
I didn't. When did they do that?
You know, they sing it.
Oh, at the
Gallo.
Oh, yeah.
Neil Diamond
songs. At a time. Yeah, well, that's just something that, I mean, the Red Sox do it. A lot of schools do that.
Okay, well, I got a new one for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Okay.
How about Something's Burning by the First Edition, and I just stopped in, just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in, because I ain't no wings, and Coach Orangehair is just, he's falling apart. You know, Paul, it's a matter of time before they ask Coach Orangehair to leave, or Dan Meagher will have to get back.
When you want something so badly, and for 17 years you go to bed every night hoping that something happens to Nick Saban, it's a terrible way to live your life, is it not? This has been an interesting day. We had a man, I think it was his name, Harry from South Carolina, or double-check that. But he'd had open-heart surgery. He's doing better, but it's been a long recovery. Henry, what was that? Lee, okay. From South Carolina. He had open heart surgery that cracked his chest open. Then we had Larry, a heart attack, and he is just out of the hospital. And then another person called in and mentioned cheerleader having a tough time. Cheerleader is next.
Hi, Paul.
Cheerleader.
I'm doing so much better. I'm doing so much better.
I had a brain bleed.
Yeah, I had a brain bleed and had brain surgery. That's bad.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad we didn't know while it was going on. We would have been... So how are you doing?
I know it. Well, I'm doing just fine. And, Paul, the miracle is that I can walk and talk. All of my body parts are in working order. My mind, and I thought when you had something like that, you were left a little bit not in good shape.
Well, it is serious stuff. Really serious stuff. So tell us how you're dealing with it.
Well, I'm dealing with it fine. I will be in the hospital 2 weeks Thursday, and I'm here for rehab. You know, I've been doing three kinds of rehab, and then I'm going to go home and do outpatient rehab. And I will be able to drive again after I get, you get your strength taken away from you every now and then.
Oh, sure.
But I tell you, a miracle was performed on me, and I believe it. And I'm just telling you that. A miracle was performed on me. I slipped out of my bed, and the bed's a little taller bed, and the left side of my head hit the hardwood floor. Mm. Now, it wasn't that I rolled out of the bed. I slipped out of it. When I was getting out of the bed, it was just crazy. So that happened 2 months before the brain bleed showed up.
So what was what told you you had a serious problem?
Well, I went on a girl's trip, and I woke up one morning, and I had a real bad headache and a bad nausea. And then the headache was bad, and I had to stay in the room with a cloth over my eyes. Came home that night, went to the one of the small emergency rooms, and the two doctors checked me out, and they said, "Ma'am, we do not think you have a brain bleed. Well, we think you have a concussion. And so what, just, you know, keep a watch on it." And then I had an ocular migraine where I saw a kaleidoscope out of the side of out of my eye.
Right.
And I went to my eye doctor, and she said, "I don't see any symptoms of anything, but I would have a scan." And I called to get the scan, and it took me over a week to get it. And once I got it, the scanning person said, the doctor said to meet him in the emergency room right now.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, and they did not have to shave all my hair off, Paul. And they just did a line down where what you call a part is in your hair to make your hair do.
Right.
And they
well,
just,
I
they cut a saw, and I don't know if it was a blade or it had to have been some kind of a small electric saw.
Hmm.
And they took the staples out yesterday. That was the worst part. And I'm in a hospital, Paul, and there's no SECTV.
You know, I don't know, understand hospitals, and I don't mean to rage, but I'm going to. We get that complaint
right.
more often than not. I cannot imagine a hospital in Alabama would not be caring. I mean, the selection in hospitals is very, very poor, I believe.
These are channels that some of them I haven't even heard of.
Yeah.
And so I don't even I haven't even heard of
I think what
TV,
hospitals do, they sell subscriptions and they're cheap because hospitals are trying to make money.
Could be.
And,
but I have to say,
amazing.
And I'm not mentioning the hospital I'm in, but I have received excellent care.
Okay.
And my neurosurgeon, hello?
Yeah, I'm we're here.
Okay. And my neurosurgeon was trained at Ole Miss.
Oh, wow.
How about that? And
great.
I'm telling you, he is a jackpot.
Well, cheerleader,
you
rest. We are going to. I'm going to come to Birmingham soon and meet with all the hospital people, and we are going to solve this problem.
Well, I've got to find out about Larry because
in
one of my dreams, and when I was half out of my living mind, you know, they are trying to recover. I said, I'm going to have Paul Feinbaum's show down at the lake. And Larry's going to come, and we're going to come down here and see what's the best part of the lake. Maybe we need to have it when it's an Auburn-Alabama game that's at Auburn, but are any of them there this year?
Well, the game is in Auburn this year. Cheerleader, you be well.
Well,
you take care of yourself, and please stay in touch with us, please. Well, somebody wants to say hello to Cheerleader quickly here just to wish her well. Go ahead. Jim?
Yeah, I do, Paul. I'm really happy to hear that Cheerleader is doing that well, and I say this right now. I know the fact that Cheerleader, you know that God in heaven was with you, even though we don't understand why these things happen, like I've had problems with my legs, but I know he's been with me. I've had great care. I've had fun talking to the doctors. They're really funny, and I'm just glad to let you know that I know that God's been with you, and we pray, and thankfully you made it through with that serious condition in your head. That's just... I know how serious that is. So good speed and Godspeed for what you've been through.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much. Great news. So we will take a break. 30 minutes remaining right here.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Jamie is up next in Baton Rouge. Good afternoon, Jamie. Jamie, are you there?
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
How you doing?
We are doing great.
I have a couple things I want to discuss with you. One's a question. Have you ever seen that movie Mississippi Burn?
Yes, I have. Mississippi Burning?
Yeah, you are the exact clone of the barber in that movie. You are.
Quite a compliment.
And another thing is, everybody's calling and flapping and yapping about their favorite team. What about the number four LSU Tigers with Brian Kelly and his boys? They're on the way to take the crystal ball, Paul.
You think, Jamie, you think LSU's ready to make that next step, huh? I guess you do. You hung up on me. Trying to remember the barber. I know Gene Hackman was in that movie, but I don't remember the barber. Jack is up next. Hello, Jack.
Mr. Paul.
Yes, good afternoon.
How you doing?
We are doing great.
Man, great. Thanks for taking my call, man. I'm a first-time caller, but I listen to the show quite often.
Thank you.
Man, these testimonies that are coming in are so great, man. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And Mr. Larry, it's so good to hear from him again because he's one of my favorite callers.
Yeah, that was really good news to hear from Larry.
Yeah, man, I thank God Larry's doing good, along with the rest of everybody else that's going through what they're going through, and they're coming out on top. It just sounds good to hear the testimonies coming through, and we're supposed to be talking about football, but it's like a family affair. And that's why I called, because I heard yesterday on the call that you were trying to find Lil Wayne or someone to help with your theme song. And I would be glad to be one of those people that you would try to, would let represent the show by doing the song.
So, Jack, tell us about your expertise.
Well, I'm signed with a record label. I'm a professionally recording artist.
Really?
I'm in Alabama, but the label I'm with is in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Pennsylvania, and I got a lot of music that you can look up, website, you can Google me, YouTube, all of that.
So what type of music do you normally record?
Well, I normally record like Christian hip hop, contemporary rap type music, just a lot of clean music, you know what I mean? I was actually saying that because the song that you have now was good for when you first came on the show, but the excitement that we get out of just the phone calls of the show, you need like a song that's like coming out of the tunnel, getting ready to play one of the biggest games of
your
life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that song has been there for 8 or 9. The only reason Lil Wayne came up is that he dropped me into a song last week, but I don't think we can afford Lil Wayne unless he wants to donate something. But Lil Wayne would have to pass the Disney censors, and that may be an issue. But we are moving into that range. I don't mean to give you this line because it's not. But once we get a little closer to next year, we're not going to need that until really July 1st, because until then, the SEC schedule is still intact. But once we hit July 1st, 2024, it's on, and we'll probably start switching everything over. But
how can I get in on dibs?
I tell you what, let me put you on hold, and we will get your information. I think that would be the best way to do it. And I see – let me put you on hold there, Jake. And somebody will get your information. I see some excitement happening here. I think we could really turn this new theme song with Oklahoma and Texas into maybe another edition of The Voice or American Idol or something like that. I've got some ideas. Let me think about them during the break. We are coming back right after this. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.